the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Most loving and affectionate Father, you have given to us a series of commandments that teach us how to love. Grant us a greater understanding of this love, so that we may truly apply ourselves to the fulfillment of your most holy will. We ask this through Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our God, our King. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm going to be talking to you about the Ten Commandments, the Decalogue, which simply means ten. And I'm going to be looking at each one, but at the beginning, let's kind of look at what the Ten Commandments consist of. There are two parts to the Ten Commandments. There's three that deal directly with God, and the last seven that deal with man and God and man's relationship with each other. And these are all means of loving. Now, the first and highest commandment that is above all others is that you shall love the Lord your God with your whole heart, your whole soul, your mind. And the second is you must love your neighbor as yourself. In this is contained all of the laws, all of the Ten Commandments. Christ gives us this so that we can truly become part of the divine family, part of our heavenly kingdom. And he gives these laws or rules of loving to us so that we have an understanding of what is expected of those who are being offered an eternity, to being offered eternal life in the Godhead. The first commandment, I am the Lord your God. You shall not have strange gods before me. Now, oftentimes, that's one of the commandments that we don't even think about. And yet, there are many, many opportunities, especially in our society today, of breaking that very commandment. There are many, many things that deal with the occult nowadays. There are things, superstitious things. There are Ouija boards and Torah cards and horoscopes, people who supposedly tell the future. There are all of these individuals seeking, in one way or another, to get your money, to tell you something that they have no power to tell you. They have no ability to know the future. They can't discern. They don't speak with the dead. They don't speak with those who have gone beyond, and through seances and through witchcraft and all these other different elements. These are games that people play in order to make money. They catch us with this hope that somehow we can know something that we really have no right to know. Our future. What we have to do is, instead of living for tomorrow, we have to live for today. We have to look at now, the here and now. That is what's going to make our future. We must recognize those superstitious elements within ourselves. I can't even begin to tell you how many times I've seen people throw salt over their shoulder, and half the times I'm sitting behind them. So I get salt all over me. Why? I have no idea. Supposedly they dropped the salt shaker. You think that would have been enough? You see, people look at these things and they attach to them elements of the divine. They think that these individuals or these practices or these cards or whatever it might be, tea leaves, have almost a divine power. And that's where the sinfulness comes in. That's what we have to be very, very attentive within ourselves to avoid like the plague, because these things take us away from a true understanding of the magnificence and the beauty of God and our place in this magnificent creation that God has given us. We need to be careful that we do not make gods out of the things around us. Money can be a god, or we can place those elements in society that are reserved for God. Marriage outside of the church. Pagan worship. Partaking in cultic rituals. Earth rituals or rituals based on stones or heaven knows what, the solstice or whatever it might be. Pagans throughout the years have made these things or tried to deify them, and yet God has revealed himself. And these things that many people look to are created by God to show his goodness. And they take them and they make them into deities or godlike things or abstractions. And so therefore, we have to avoid these things. We have to look away from them. We have to maneuver around them, recognizing them for what they are, not falling into the trap. And if we do, obviously, there is, thanks be to God, the sacrament of reconciliation. Despairing of God's mercy sins against the first commandment. I am the Lord your God, he says. What does it mean to be the Lord and God over someone? It means that we need to trust him. We need to see him as our most loving and affectionate father. And to despair in that mercy is to sin against that first commandment. I am the Lord your God. You shall not have strange gods before me. Simony is a sin of selling something or getting money for spiritual things. I've seen it in many, many times, but I've seen on television ministers that promise God's divine grace and his goodness and wealth and power. If you just give this, you can buy heaven. That is impossible. We can't buy heaven. We can't pay enough for it. And if you happen to be wealthy, there's no way, there's not enough money on earth that can purchase heaven or eternity with God. There's nothing that you can give, nothing other than your love. These things, including the most holy Eucharist, these wondrous things that God gives us, these things that are based in reality but have even greater significance and supernatural meaning, such as the most blessed sacrament, which is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord. Reverencing that moves to honoring and loving God. When we disrespect the Eucharist by receiving in the state of mortal sin or disregarding for periods of time the fact and the knowledge that that is really the living, breathing Jesus Christ, using that sacrament for political or social gain. How many times we see so many politicians who will go to church insisting that they may receive communion solely so that their image will become greater and better and more perfect in the eyes of the world. They sin against the first commandment. They are placing God behind their desires, behind their motivation, behind their lust for power. And these things we must always avoid. These things we must look at and see if they are any way touch our soul. And we must move toward an understanding of this commandment. Why? Not so that we just avoid these things, but that we move toward the love of God. That we recognize him in the things around us and we see that he is truly our Lord and God. And that if we put anything before him, we make that an idol. We make that something that we move toward. And any movement toward anything and away from God is a movement toward damnation, toward hell. And a movement away from peace.